Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And I'm also on Instagram, lots of cool pictures. You guys know if you tag me in a picture, you might win a prize. I give away gift cards and books and movie tickets, dinners, all types of things. I really encourage you to follow on Twitter, become a fan, check me out on Instagram, whatever way is easier so that you could possibly win something from me. And I just want to thank you for your support. We are past like 1.2 million downloads of the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, you want to listen to my crazy voice every Saturday morning? Great. Or maybe you're listening to it at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening. I'm not sure, but thank you for doing that, and thank you for sharing with your friends and family. Well, this month is Alzheimer's Awareness Month, and as you guys know, I really like to keep up to date about what's going on with different health issues and also share those resources with you and where can you go to get help. So I have some experts with me this morning because I am not an expert. Chuck Fischillo, he's the CEO of the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Prior to that, he served 8 terms. Wow, amazing. New York State Senator representing the 8th Senate District. Good morning, Chuck.
Hi, good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for calling in. And also we have Amy McVeigh. She's representing the Philadelphia Corporation for Aging. And she works as a caregiver support program, in the caregiver support program there as a supervisor. She has a master's in gerontology, and she's been working in the field for about 16 years. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, and thank you very much, Joy.
Thank you, Amy, for calling in. I'm very familiar with your organization and what you're doing here in Philadelphia, and I just give you kudos. And also, Chuck, your organization across the nation, helping people with Alzheimer's and connecting them with resources is a great thing. That's why I'm having you guys on. I want to start with you, Chuck. What exactly is Alzheimer's? Can you explain to the audience what that is? Because some people are confused.
Yeah, there always is a lot of confusion with what Alzheimer's is and what dementia is. But Alzheimer's, the clinical definition is that it's a progressive degenerative disorder that attacks the brain's nerve cells and results in memory loss and thinking and language skills and behavioral changes. And that's something that individuals, more than 5 million Americans, Joy, throughout the country suffer with and are living with. And that number is expected to nearly triple by 2050.
Now, Amy, you know, I forget things all the time. If I have a fight with my daughter or something and I'm exasperated and I need to go to a timeout, you know, I forget, where are my keys, what am I doing, which direction am I going? Amy, what's the slight difference here between what I'm going through and what somebody with Alzheimer's is going through?
Well, I think we all experience that.
Right.
I'm a mother of a young child, and we have it. I lose things all the time. But I think, you know, the important thing is to know that, you know, people do every day lose things and misplace things and forget things. The difference, I think, would be in that when those problems begin to make your life a little bit more difficult, when people start to experience severe memory losses. They literally can't remember large gaps of time, and they will oftentimes become a little bit suspicious of people taking their things versus us realizing that we've misplaced our things on our own. And perhaps Mr. Shaw can actually expand on that. But
Amy Joy, we are on information overload. I mean, there's so much information out there. We carry around our little iPhones and the pocket computers and everything else. And you know, information can never get to us quick enough. And there's so much that goes on in our daily lives that one of the things I never tell people to do when I'm out there speaking or they want to talk about, you know, Alzheimer's or dementia is don't self-diagnose yourself. Losing your keys and forgetting your keys is very different. But if you forget, you know, when you go someplace and you forget why you're there and you suffer from continually memory loss, then there's an issue to be dealt with.
Now, Chuck, can younger people get it, or is it only older? I mean, I've heard that sometimes younger people – go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's no age barrier here. It is prevalent in individuals that are older, but we deal with families who have had loved ones that have been afflicted in their 30s and passed away in their 40s. And, you know, we do memory screenings throughout the entire nation, and we get individuals from the ages of teenagers to in their 80s and 90s that come to get screened. So there's no age barrier here, but it is predominant in older adults. But as I said, we deal with families that have had loved ones in their 30s.
Wow. Now, Amy, you know, what, who, why, where? Like, is it environmental? Is it genetic? I mean, if somebody in my family has it, does that mean I'm going to get it? Can you talk to the audience about that?
A little. I believe there are some genetic components. So there may be, you know, there is a hereditary factor involved, but it doesn't know any boundaries as far as, you know, socioeconomic class, cultural, or anything like that. I do believe some cultural, there are some cultures that are more prone to it, but there certainly aren't any specifics. Anybody, anywhere can get dementia of any type, unfortunately. It doesn't know any boundaries, really.
Chuck, do you think that it's increased in recent history, or is it just we're more able to diagnose it now?
Well, I think that there's been medical advancements as far as diagnosing it and recognizing it. Years ago, they would think that somebody, and I hate to say this, was just out of their mind, you know, when you saw an older adult, and that's tragic that the public felt that way about individuals. But it's becoming more prevalent in our society. The nation is waking up to this disease that, you know, it's in the top 10 causes of death and the only one with no cure. And it's affecting more and more families. When you think about that, over 5 million individuals are living with Alzheimer's and related dementias, and then you think about the multiple factor of 3 or 4 as far as the caregivers and the support, you could see how many people this affects throughout our country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Amy, in terms of what Chuck was just talking about, the families it affects, what do you see with, you know, Philadelphia Corporation for Aging and the caregiver issue? What are you seeing, and how are people handling? Is it well? Is it not well? And what can you guys do to alleviate any stress?
Right. Well, it really does, you know, family dependent as far as being well or not well, and how willing or knowledgeable the family is about accessing services. There are services available, certainly, and, you know, our place is a great place to start. You know, we have a helpline who can provide information and resources. We have an assessment department that can come out to the person's home and help with accessing those resources and to help them accessing programs that are available. And we also have a service coordination component that can come out, can help to arrange and organize services in the home, access resources, and create a comprehensive plan of care for the family and the consumer as well.
And that's so critically important, what Amy's talking about, because you need a support group. And the earlier this is recognized and acknowledged, the better off it is, because there are so many issues that need to be dealt with, whether they're medical issues, insurance issues, legal issues, you know, just family issues, preparing. And, you know, there's still a stigma attached to this where there is a denial. And all too often we see that it's been a year or two before somebody fully recognizes, hey, there's a problem here that we have to address. But early recognition of this, early diagnose, early support, building that support team of caregivers is so critically important in dealing with this issue.
I also want to mention that the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, they have a national toll-free hotline, 866-232-8484. Again, 866-232-8484. Now, Chuck, now in terms of, like, medicine for Alzheimer's, is there a medicine out there? Are there clinical trials? Can your organization connect people with clinical trials?
Yeah, the answer is yes to all of the above. It's whatever your doctor recommends is the best course of treatment. To hopefully it works differently in everybody's joy. Some it works, some it doesn't, but to slow down the progression. Our helpline, as you gave the number, is 866-232-8484. And in the last 2 years, we've received over 15,000 calls to our helpline. And that's staffed by licensed social workers that are dementia care professionals. And primarily we're getting calls from individuals that are dealing with memory issues, a loss of memory, but also their caregivers. And through our more than 2,400 member organizations throughout the country, we're able to make those referral of services to provide, whether it's social adult programs or support groups. But it's so critically important, and I want to emphasize this again, that if anybody's dealing with these issues, you know, talk about it as quickly as possible and develop a support team. You know, the caregiving has always been called the second disease because of the emotional and physical stress that the caregiver endures during the process.
Now, Amy, you were talking about going out to the home and assessing. What are they looking for other than just the person? Do they interview the family, neighbors, or is it just based on the individual?
At the time of the initial assessment, generally we assess the consumer themselves and or family members if they wish to be present. Really, anybody can be present at the time of the initial assessment. Going beyond the initial assessment, and when the service coordinator goes out to the home to establish a plan of care, they try to incorporate everyone who is aiding and in any way that consumer in the community. Neighbors, friends, church members, physicians, nurses, whoever happens to be involved in that person's lives and is aiding, we try to incorporate that person into their care plan.
Are there practical things that the person who's going through this can do? I mean, we talked just about medication, yes, but what about, I guess, mm-hmm. behavioral things? I mean, doing crossword puzzles, or, I mean, are those things actually helpful? Amy or Chuck, can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, we always encourage that, you know, challenge your brain, you know. Joy, one of the things I always ask individuals when I'm speaking throughout the country to groups is how many people have an annual physical, and most people raise their hand. And then I ask, well, did you have a memory screening? Did you have a healthy brain checkup while you were there as well? And the majority say no. And it's so critically important as we have physical exercise to keep our weight down and make sure we're living a healthy life and eat right. You need to do things to challenge your brain as well. So crossword puzzles, we always encourage individuals to do ballroom dancing, because from head to toe you have to know exactly what you're doing. You know, if you brush your teeth with your right hand, Joy, go to your left hand. It you have to readjust your brain to learn how to do certain things. So you should always challenge your brain. And do they work? The answer is yes. It's critically important that we keep our brain healthy as well as our body.
Now, Amy, you said there was a phone number. Could you repeat that, or did you say the phone number, or should people just go to the website?
They can go to the website,
but
to access the Philadelphia Corporation for Aging, you can call 215-765-9040.
And
our website
I was going to mention our website address.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Our website is pcacares.org.
And, Chuck, also, can you say your hotline, your national hotline number again for the
sure,
people?
Sure. The helpline is 866-232-8484. We're staffed by licensed social workers, as I said, that are dementia care professionals. The helpline is bilingual. And our website to the Alzheimer's Foundation of America is the abbreviation. It's ALZFDN.org, and it's just jam-packed with information for caregivers. And it's a great resource, and I encourage everybody to go to it.
I also want to mention that you guys have, this is Chuck for your organization, a caregiver magazine. It comes out quarterly, I remember seeing. So that's something that people can and check out. Now, one of the things that was mentioned is it's also a financial issue, and also who's going to control the finances. Amy, does PCA help families try to navigate that kind of legal issues?
Sure. Yeah, we help with providing resources. There are a few legal resources within the Philadelphia area that can provide free services for our older adults, and we have the numbers and resources for those particular legal entities, and help individuals connect with them if necessary.
And Chuck, how about you guys? I know you guys do the same thing.
Absolutely, and we do that, and that's part of a national program that we have, Joy, called National Memory Screening, and we feel that it's critically important that if anybody's experiencing any type of memory problems, that they should have a memory screening by a qualified healthcare aid, and you know, it's all about planning, and there are so many issues that need to be taken care of for families, and we always encourage people to do it as early as possible when you're able to make the decision and be a participant in the decision-making process.
One of the things that you guys have, Chuck, is that you have training actually for professionals. Could you maybe talk a little bit about that?
We do. We have a division called Dementia Care Professionals of America, and we offer a two-year certification in 39 states. Individuals who are licensed social workers or licensed masters with social workers with master's degrees can obtain continuing education units up to 5.5 hours by going through the program. And it's about best practices on how to deal with it as a caregiver or a professional, on how to take care of somebody living with Alzheimer's or any type of related dementia. It's a program that we do enjoy throughout the country. We train nursing students in colleges. We go to hospitals, assisted living centers, both public and private nursing homes, caregivers, both professional and private caregivers. And we just completed a year-long initiative of redoing our training videos. We're very proud of the work. But we feel it's critically important that individuals learn the best practices on how to be a caregiver and how to navigate through some very difficult times that they could be facing.
I think that's really important because, as you said, culturally, people look at Alzheimer's differently. And just because you're a professional doctor or nurse, you know, medical field, doesn't mean that your culture all of a sudden goes out the window. So you, too, may have some barriers or things that you might need to overcome or information that you might need to learn. So I think that's very important. Amy, are there physical things that you can help the family do, maybe with the home? Are there any adjustments that need to be made or, like things on the phones that, you know, don't forget to go to Johnny's house, or you know what I mean? I'm not trying to be silly, but you know,
no,
things
absolutely.
That can
speak very important
to the person that's dealing with the memory loss.
Absolutely. Everyday things are very important. And what we can do, we can help with setting up an occupational therapy in home assessment. And they can go out to the home and talk to the individual about what safety measures they can take and to make the house as safe and accessible as possible. And I do believe the Alzheimer's Association does go in and do in-home assessments as well to help with little pointers and suggestions in how to make the home safe. I know, for example, there are door alarms that can go off if the individual tries to leave the home. There are doorknob adapters so that the person can't, you know, get out of the home. There are stove knob adapters to make it so that the person can't turn on the stove and accidentally burn themselves or create a fire of any sort. So absolutely there are things that we can do to help in regards to accessing, you know, like I said, an occupational therapy a therapist who can go out and help the individuals to set their homes up so that they're safe as possible.
Chuck, do you do similar things with your
organization? No, we do, and we actually have a store on our website, the AFA store, where we sell those items at a discounted price, and it's critically important, but we also have an excellence in care design where we go into facilities to ensure that they are best equipped to deal with individuals with Alzheimer's and dementia, and we offer certifications to the facilities, and we do that throughout the nation. But it's so critically important, Joy, and I'm going to go back to what I had said when we first started your show this morning, to have a support team and make sure that the support team is properly educated and fully versed in what it is about and trained on how to be a caregiver, because it changes somebody's life, you know, overnight. And we're not educated. Individuals aren't taught on how to be caregivers. But we go to college universities now and high schools and middle schools throughout the country. And it's part of our new initiative called Raise Your Voice for Care, where we're going in and we're taking over the campuses of the schools for a day. And we create workshops and we train people and we educate them on how to be caregivers, and we train faculty and what to look for as well. But and we end the day usually with a concert to try to keep the students involved. But you're never too young to learn on how to be a caregiver, and most likely someday in your life you will be.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely not. I mean, that's why when you become a parent, I mean, they have parenting classes, but I don't think it's the same as a child taking care of a parent. It's a little different.
No, and you know, this family we dealt with on Long Island who's involved with us, very supportive. Their father, the woman's husband, was 36 years old when he was inflicted with the disease, passed away at 44, but the children were 9 and 10. So the two kids and the wife essentially became the primary caregivers. Now, you know as well as I do, no 9- and 10-year-old is expecting to be a caregiver.
Right. I mean, what about the case of people who don't want to be caregivers? Amy, can your organization direct them to maybe a facility where they can put the person in? Because everybody does not want to be a caregiver for whatever reason, you know, not necessarily just because they're selfish. It could just be overwhelming to them or anything. I mean, do you guys help people who don't want to have them in the home continuously, you know?
Well, of course, our main focus is to try to keep individuals in the home. And so we would work with the caregiver to try to set up services that might be beneficial. For example, perhaps an adult day center, so the person is out of the home and being taken care of during the day, as well as personal care services, so that the person can get a little bit of respite. There are services for example, temporary respite, where the individual can be placed in a facility for a short period of time while the caregiver goes on vacation, for example, and they don't have to worry about their loved one. So we do try to work with individuals to try to keep consumers in the community for as long as possible. But if there comes a point where, you know, they absolutely cannot do that any longer, as Chuck mentioned, you know, there are some behavioral issues that go along with Alzheimer's, and sometimes it can become very difficult toward the end. And if they find that a nursing home is the absolute only answer for them, then, you know, we can aid in that process as well.
Chuck, how about you guys, do you help with connecting people with centers? Where for daycare or for respite care?
And we do that. And one of the things we encourage, Joy, and I know Amy touched upon it, is caregiver relief as well. As I said before, the emotional and physical stress of a caregiver can be overwhelming, and we always encourage caregivers to take a time out, to take a break. And there are many caregiver relief groups that are around the nation that provide the relief to let a caregiver get out of the house, whether it's one day a week or on the weekends to do chores or just, you know, have a mental time out period, and that's critically important. But we do that through, you know, our member organizations throughout the nation. But I'm going to go back to what I keep emphasizing. Education and creating a support team is so critically important to successfully dealing or living with somebody who has Alzheimer's.
Now, Chuck, one of the great things I see that you guys have is you have grants that you give out to nonprofits. I mean, you guys are a nonprofit, and you guys are looking for funds to, you know, continue your great work, but you are also giving out grants to other nonprofits. Could you talk about that a little bit?
We do. You know, we were founded by our board chairman, Bert Brodsky, whose mom had the disease, and she was living in Florida, and he brought her up to New York to live with him and had a full-time aide around the clock taking care of her, but she wasn't involved in social adult or therapeutic programs because he wasn't aware of it. So when he created the foundation as a national foundation, we have member organizations, and we do raise money to support our services. And Joe, I'm really proud to say that 85 cents of every dollar goes back into our programs and services. But we give out grants to our member organizations to support what they do. And this year we will give back close to $1 million in grants to our member organizations, and it supports their programs. Because to raise money for the smaller nonprofits throughout the country is very, very challenging. Amy, I'm sure you'll talk about that as well. You know, it's something we constantly do, and we're very proud that we give back all this money to support these local programs. Because, as I said, it's hard to raise money. If we can do it, we're going to support those member organizations of the foundation.
Right.
Amy, are you guys working with other organizations, collaborating systems here in Philadelphia?
I'm not really versed on that. I'm sorry. I do know that we work with the veterans organization, trying to make sure that the vets are being taken care of in the best way possible. I do know that our organization, I don't know like exactly how PCA collaborates on you know, an executive level, but I know that on a service coordination level, we coordinate with any entity that would be helpful to the individual in the home. We reach out to anybody who we think might be beneficial to aid in the individual. So I don't know about any concrete
That's okay. That's all right.
Have, you know, but I do know that we work with other entities as needed on a service coordination level as well. And I know that, you know, we do have, we connect with other people on a regular basis.
Well, I want to thank both of you guys for coming on the show. I want to mention again, Chuck, if you could say your hotline, your national toll-free helpline again, that would be great.
Sure. The AFA helpline is 866-232-8484.
And your website address is?
It's alzfdn.org. I encourage individuals to go there. It has a lot of educational and informational materials for caregivers. But, you know, take the time. Make the call to our toll-free helpline, and you'll be connected to a licensed social worker that is a professional and can offer you counseling and education services right there on the line.
And, Amy, could you just mention your phone number for PCA?
Sure. Yeah, it's 215-765-9040. And our website, again, is pcacares.org. And we have a helpline that's available to help individuals, provides resources and talks about information in the community that might be helpful for individuals who call in.
Oh, wow, that's great. You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. I'm sorry we've run out of time, but again, I encourage everybody who's listening to reach out to either of these organizations, no matter where you are, and get some help. And don't delay, as Chuck mentioned, don't wait a year, 6 months. The first time you start noticing things, encourage the individual. I mean, you don't want to take over their lives, but really encourage them to, hey, get that memory test, because not only do we need the physical exam, we also need a memory exam, which I know I've never had a memory exam. So the next time I go, I will myself try to talk to my PCP or primary care provider about that. And also, if you are dealing with Alzheimer's, talk to your doctor about, behavioral things that can be done, and also physical adjustments that can be made to your home, what's best. Both these organizations can help you with those things. Thank you so much, Chuck. Thank you so much, Amy, for coming on today.
Thanks,
Thank
Joy.
You very
Thank
much.
You, Amy.
Thank you, Chuck. Take
all
care.
You guys have a great weekend. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye
Amy.
Now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with two experts dealing with Alzheimer's. This is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. Again, it's Alzheimer's Foundation of America. You want to check them out, alzfdn.org. And also Philadelphia Corporation for Aging, pcacares.org. Please connect with either of them for whatever needs you might have, either if you're a person dealing with Alzheimer's or you're a caregiver. They have lots and lots of resources for either person. And also, if you're an organization who's interested in working with people who have Alzheimer's, the Alzheimer's Foundation has small grants that they give out, and you might be eligible. So connect with them, alzfdn.org. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I'm going to be talking with Dr. Shane Perreault in about 5 minutes about his book, The Black Manual. So I encourage you to call in for that, 646-929-0368. If not, you guys have a great weekend. And you can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And check me out on Instagram. I'm Saturdays with Joy Keys on Instagram. Have a great weekend.